Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. In those days there again was a great crowd without anything to eat. Jesus summoned the disciples and said, "My heart is moved with pity for the crowd, for they have been with me now for 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them away hungry to their homes, they will collapse on the way, and some of them have come a great distance." His disciples answered, "Where can anyone get enough bread to satisfy them here, in this deserted place?" Still, Jesus asked them, "How many loaves do you have?" They replied, "Seven." He ordered the crowd to sit down on the ground. Then, taking the 7 loaves, he gave thanks, broke them, and gave them to the disciples to distribute, and they distributed them to the crowd. They also had a few fish. He said the blessing over the fish and ordered them distributed as well. They ate and were satisfied. They picked up the fragments left over, 7 baskets. There were about 4,000 people. Jesus dismissed the crowd and got into the boat with his disciples, and they came to the region of Dalmanutha. The Gospel of the Lord. A couple of days ago on Thursday, we had a chance to ponder with the readings the direction of our own life. As St. Timothy describes it, we're either persevering in faith or we're denying. As Fulton J. Sheen says, we're either hiking uphill or sliding downhill. That's at the level of our discipleship. Today, we get the same choice at the level of our apostolate. Either we're leading people to God or we're drawing people away from God. Today's readings, today's feast, today's invocation of Our Lady all give us an indication of these apostolic vectors. We begin with those who lead away from God. Jeroboam is the one who has the reputation, probably the worst of the reputation of all the kings in the history of the Jews. He was the buildings manager for Solomon, so he would have been responsible for all Solomon's great building projects. Very well organized, he had a whole legion of people working and responding to him. And as we saw yesterday, the prophet Ahijah ripped up his new cloak and divided it into 12 pieces, giving 10 to Jeroboam, saying that you will lead the 10 tribes in what we would call Israel, the northern part of the Holy Land. And that had all come about precisely because of Solomon's idolatry. Solomon, at 18, pleased God with what he had asked for wisdom to guide and govern his people according to the way of the Lord. Himself had lost his way. And after having built the temple for the Lord, he had 1,000 marriages, 700 arranged marriages between various ruling families, and then 300 other marriages of a lower social class, which you called at the time concubinage. 1,000 wives. He couldn't control himself. And because he loved them more than he loved God, the one who had built the temple started to build pagan shrines, so that they could commit idolatrous worship. And because of this, God said, "I'm going to divide your kingdom, and I'm going to give it to one of your servants, preserving for the sake of your father just a small part of what you had inherited. But even though the kingdom had become divided because of idolatry, that's exactly the direction Jeroboam led the Israelites. He replaced their deity, worshiping golden calves. He replaced their temple, building one up in Dan, way north of the Sea of Galilee, another one, Bethel, just north of Jerusalem, at the two confines of his kingdom. He replaced their priests. No longer was the priest chosen by God, but as we see at the end of the text, anybody who wanted to be a priest just presented himself and then, fine, didn't even have to be at all somebody seeking holiness, just a functionary, just a manipulator. He replaced their rites and their feasts, making up new ones in order to be able to compete with the Jewish feast that had been revealed by God. Rather than leading people to God, he was actively leading them away, trying to substitute pagan worship for true worship. It's a perennial temptation. We've seen it many times in church history. We saw it with Antiochus Epiphanes later, the time of the Book of Maccabees. We saw it with 13 different Roman emperors who persecuted the Christians. We see it still today. Pope Francis is constantly talking about those who get us to worship the golden calf. How many bosses force their employees to work on Sunday because they consider making more money more important than the worship of God. So many in the advertising industry and the sports industry have made sports a new religion that people follow with religious fervor. So many others in culture are trying to make various celebrities the ones that they follow. And even with the religious feasts, they try to eviscerate them. We all know what happens when so many people look toward Easter as a time to have chocolate bunnies, or Christmas as just this generic feast at the level of Kwanzaa, whatever that is. Leading people to God or leading people away from God. Jeroboam shows us how not to do it. Today in the Gospel, Jesus shows us how to do it. Simple human need. People are hungry. And Jesus wanted to use that human need in order to bring people to the Lord, and he did in two different ways. One, he fed everybody after the blessing. He made sure that everybody knew that all food comes from God. They didn't have really much there. Certainly not to feed a crowd in a deserted place. But even if they were in the middle of downtown Jerusalem and there were plenty of shops, the food is still provided by God. So he had them turn to him in that way. Second way we see is he wanted the apostles to be able to share in charity. So he starts with what they're able to give, offers that to God, and then hands them what he had blessed and broken to distribute to the crowds. They shared in his providential and merciful generosity. Today, when you look at how to move young people, it doesn't take rocket scientists in order to be able to figure it out. There are always four different pillars for four different types of people. Some people are fish caught by the head, and so you have to teach and allow them to come seeking the truth and find that it has a name. Others really are looking for friendship and community, and you have to have a more vibrant Christian community than they're going to be able to find in various substitutes. Some really wish to pray, especially this cohort of young people. You've got to set up opportunities for them to come to adore and just be with the Lord. But perennially, you always have those who will be led much more deeply in the faith by authentically Christian charity, by getting involved in the church's love for our neighbor and care for others. That is an incredible means by which to lead so many. And when you look, for example, at the studies of why people become priests today, and there are a lot of these sociological surveys, the three biggest factors are adoration, spiritual direction, and the opportunity for service trips. Each of those three are able to conduce people into a much deeper awareness of God's action and how He wants to continue to act through us. So Jesus shows us how to point us to God as a source of blessings and how God wishes to get us involved in becoming His blessing for the world. Today the church celebrates the feast of St. Claude Le Colombier, the spiritual director of St. Margaret Mary Alacoque. She had been praying for a director, as you know, and she was basically spiritually abused over and over by the sisters in her convent and by those sent to investigate her. It took her a while, because she was shy, to share what the Lord had been revealing, but most thought that she was either psycho or thought that she was possessed. They just couldn't take the reality that God was blessing her in these ways. The Lord had revealed to her that He would send her someone. Eventually, St. Claude de Colombier came to hear confessions there. And the first time, he spent an hour and a half with her in the confessional. And she was resisting, and he was, as if the Lord had revealed to him, He was giving her exactly what she needed, despite her not saying what she needed. And eventually, for a few years, he became her spiritual director. And it really helped her, first, to be able to accept the truth of what was occurring and to learn how to act with it, how to share it, how to live it. She said about him, one of the greatest compliments that has ever been enunciated in the history of hagiography. His great gift, she said, is leading souls to God. He was able to lead her soul to God. He was able to lead so many others. All before he died at the age of 41. We pray in a special way through him for all those who have this charism to be able to lead souls to God. In every way, sister, each of us is called to be a spiritual director of others. So many are going to come who need guidance. And the Holy Spirit wants to come and help us. Would it be great that one day somebody, whether a simple person who will never be known except to God in the annals of history, or whether somebody really famous whom God might be giving special gifts, might be able to say of you and me, his great gift is to be able to lead me to God, to lead others to God. The last example we have is Our Lady, whom we celebrate today under the title of Mother of the Font of Our Salvation. Mary led people to her Son. She continues to do so, provided, as St. John Paul II writes, we relive her mystery in Christ. Sometimes Mary is actually an obstacle, not because of anything she does, but because of the way human reason can work and even diabolical temptation can work, that when we do not communicate effectively our devotion to Our Lady, sometimes people think that we treat her as the fourth person of the Blessed Trinity, which of course we don't, especially many of our Protestant brothers and sisters who don't really have adoration. But they have veneration. When we venerate Our Lady, they can't distinguish between the love that we have for Our Lady and the love we have for God, because they don't have the Eucharist. And every real Catholic understands the difference, but a lot of the times people on the outside do not, because they don't have it. It's so important for us, as we communicate our love for Our Lady, that we communicate the way that she leads us to her Son, by allowing us to relive her mystery, the mystery of her Annunciation when we say yes to God's grace, the mystery of visitation, taking him to others, the mystery of his birth, the way that Christ wants to grow in us so that we can share Him to others. The mystery of constantly presenting ourselves together with God, the Son, to the Father. The mystery of the horror we have when He's lost. We could go on, but we relive her mystery in Christ. And when we do, she always brings us more and more into the grasp of the blessed fruit of her womb. Today, through the intercession of Our Lady and St. Claude de Colombier, St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, to all the saints, we ask for this great grace to be led to the Lord and to become those guides to bring the whole world. We don't need a new God, a new temple, a new priesthood, and a new liturgical calendar or series of rites. God has already given us all we need. Today, the miracle we met in the gospel is fulfilled, and Jesus wants to multiply Himself in the Holy Eucharist, and He wants to multiply the fish. He wants to multiply believers caught, and He wants to use us for that great mystery of multiplication, so that we will be able, together with Him, to give Him 70 times 7 baskets.